is to check with people. But I'm suggesting that as we spoke the other day, and as Senator Petula brought out today, that, you know, there's significant, we need to beef up our auditing division because of the statute of limitations problems in that area. And I'm saying, why can't we do that, since essentially it's supposed to be a temporary situation? I mean, once we get caught up, we shouldn't, you know, we shouldn't always be 10 or 12 years behind, I wouldn't think. So it's a temporary situation. So why can't we beef it up using temporary and contractual personnel as opposed to permanent additions? Because we'll never get rid of them.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Kelly, that's not an issue that we haven't thought about. Income and excise, I think they're in a different position. Like I said, there's 12,000 returned a year. We audit very few of them. We believe that program, we've got major taxpayers, you know, like the oil companies, and we have some lesser taxpayers. But I'd like to assure you that the lesser taxpayers are very important to a lot of people in the state of Alaska because of the fisheries tax and the other taxes. And it's always the thoughts there that we're not paying close enough attention to them. And, you know, quite frankly, we put our resources to where we think the money is, but we're not going to totally dismiss the fisheries businesses and all that because of the great importance it is to our coastal rural-type communities. And so, you know, we're paying attention to those areas, and we're also trying to look at the long term. We think that there's a lot of extra potential in income and excise. We think there's probably 1,000 working taxpayers out there who are not filing returns. We get a few calls once in a while from individuals wondering, well, what's your provisions for going back? I mean, do you have anything like the IRS does where you have some waivers for past years, you know, if they haven't filed, they come forward. Well, we don't have anything like that in this state. But we think if we use some better computer linkages between the Department of Commerce, business licenses, looking at ready for agents, Department of Labor, looking at those who file with the comp claims, looking at those who are making employment security claims or payments to make sure they're all paying corporate return, we think there are a lot of extra tax dollars here, a lot of extra tax dollars. With respect to oil and gas, while the issues, while we maybe have a big bubble that we're pushing, that big bubble could take 4 years to push. And especially if these go to formal hearing, we are not going to settle these cases unless we believe that the state is getting what it due to the state of Alaska. We're not going to settle just for the sake of settling unless the governor's stated objective, and that's also an attorney general for himself, that in my understanding, I mean, that's his, and that's mine. We want to make sure that we get through the state of Alaska. So I think these are going to go away easy. Hopefully we can get them done in a short period of time, but they may take years. And now, in addition to that, in oil and gas, we've got this new issue that wasn't there before, the natural gas method. A lot of money involved there. The oil companies would like to take its gas, we'd like to take its oil. They're putting that, you know, some of the natural gas liquids into the oil. It's going through the pipeline. And so there's new issues evolving all the time. It's just a major area for the state of Alaska. And sure, I mean, I'd be the first one to say, and you can ask Larry Myers. He and I had a big discussion about that also, and about hiring, you know, contractual help. And I think we need to, and I don't think we need to keep up and have some 100-person organization. We can certainly use some experts to help us through these areas. And the hearing officers, we need hearing officers to do formal hearings that come before us. I mean, we can't be sitting here. Like I said, we've laid off two over the last couple of years, and we can't keep them on the payroll just in hopes that some oil and gas case will come to formal hearing. But if we do have a formal hearing, I think we need to go out there and do a procurement process and have a couple of or two or three potential hearing officers that were under contract, and that if we need them, and we've already made sure they're qualified, then we can bring them on a contractual basis, but not have them on the payroll. Not have them on the payroll unless we need them.
Okay, unfortunately, the rest of the Senate is waiting for us to meet down on the floor. We do have several questions from other committee members. I think the commissioner would answer those questions in writing or informally or at the subcommittee level. And I'm sorry that we didn't get the chance to have everybody's question answered here this morning, but we're out of time. We'll adjourn the meeting. Thank you.
They have a strategic strategic plan, I couldn't give you a one-minute answer. I know that it's millions of dollars a year that they have written into it, and it's a good investment, especially because of the impact on PCE. Yeah.
There's a few hot water facilities, too.
I just got my copy yesterday of the strategic plan of the Energy Authority. It's all in it, but it's going to be ready for release as soon as the board reviews it, and that meeting is this Thursday, I believe, for the Energy Authority to finalize that.
The legislature voiced this concern, Mr. Chairman, for more than a decade.
Okay, if there are no other questions, are you finished with your...
If I could just, it'll just take me 30 seconds here to tell you, here's the major changes. What we're doing is we're reducing general fund expenditures to ASME and the Tourism Marketing Council and asking the industry to come in and pick up some of that. $235,000 in ASME, $342,000 in the Tourism Marketing Council. We need to make a transition. The administration is committed to making that transition to more private-based funding for these marketing. And then we've got an increase of about $670,000 in the department. I have asked for a person for oil and gas advocacy. No one within the line agencies is responsible for oil and gas advocacy in Alaska. And we want to do that. This is a small step, but we need to do it. And the $227,000 Office of International Trade, the details on where that would go are in here. $370,000 for making the case for Alaska. We've developed a lot of these products. Some of them need to be translated into foreign languages. And that's pretty much it. So it's a net $120,000 increase in economic development. And I know we're trying to cut budgets, but I just ask you to consider our priorities where we are now and what program we're proposing here. It's pretty ambitious. We need the people. We've got to have the resources to do our job.
Okay. Thank you. Next, we have the Department of Revenue, Commissioner Rexwinkel. In the interest of time, I would like to ask members to hold questions if they can until the end of the presentation to make sure we get through it, and then we'll proceed with any questions that senators have. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Darrell Rexwinkel. I'm Commissioner of the Department of Revenue. Here at the table with me is Patient GLT, the Director of the Administrative Services Division. We do have some other resources in the room. We have Brian Andrews, Deputy Commissioner, responsible for Treasury Functions, Rob Morant, Assistant Commissioner, Larry Myers, who's the Director of the Income and Excise Audit Division, and Mary Sutton, our podcast. She works for Tracy and helps together the details of the budget. First, I'd like to start out by going over a transmittal that we had transmitted to the department's budget, to the Office of Management Budget. And we indicate that our primary mission is to maximize collection of revenues available to the state and prudently manage the state's investment portfolios. You know, I look at it that we have this big financial resource out there, and the financial resource represents the taxes that we can collect based on statutes that are in existence, not talking about any taxes or anything like that, but with the tax laws that are in place and making sure that we effectively collect the taxes that are due to the state of Alaska. And with that, we have the Division of Oil and Gas Audit and Income and Excise Audit. They're expected to identify and implement approved auditing and tax collection methods to assist in maximizing revenues on a timely basis. Increased funding for these two divisions will be more than offset by increased revenues to the state. Historically, each oil and gas revenue audit achieved $10 million each fiscal year in additional assessments. Likewise, each income and excise auditor has averaged $2 million in assessments each fiscal year. An increase in auditor and support positions in these divisions may not result in higher averages, but will result in revenues in excess of cost. I might point out that if it constitutes some budget reserve fund, constitutes some inla, it was effective July 1, 1990. And with respect to that and some additional questions about collections of assessments, we've been tracking that very close. And since July 1, we've got collections on assessments and income and excise audit through December 31 and 92 of almost $186 million. Now, these are all collections on additional assessments that the Department of Revenue, Income and Excise Audit Division has issued. And in oil and gas in the severance tax area, we've had collection on assessments over and above what the what's been reported on tax return of $247 million. Next, we have the Treasury Division, and they currently manage over $7.5 billion in 18 separate funds. Many of these funds are audited. The division is working to capture achievable incremental investment returns by refining the state's cash flow and portfolio management system. The current personal services and contractual funding levels must be maintained in order to meet these objectives. I might point out with that $7.5 billion, now it's in pension funds, general fund, and other funds, as I can mention, we have 18 of them, but an increase, or let's say a change of 1 basis point in earnings, that's 0.01% represents $750,000 change in earnings. That's significant. And that's 1 basis point, 0.01%. So every little incremental return that we can get is very important to the state of Alaska, whether it's the pension funds, the general fund, or other funds. We also have the Child Support Enforcement Division. It must be maintained at an adequate funding level to allow the division to continue collections of child support obligations and meet minimum federal requirements. The division could provide improved operations and collections with increased staff. Staff support provided by the absent parent reduces the custodial parent's need to rely on other state or federal programs for financial support. All AFEC recipients are required by federal law to have their child support case processed through CSED. CSED collections of AFEC cases effectively reduce welfare expenditures. And the reason for that is because we collect the money and get reimbursed to the state. Now, in fiscal year 92, child support recovered $5.6 million in AFEC, DFYS, and foster care payments, which is substantially in excess of the general fund cost of this program of $1.7 million. And in addition to that $1.7 million, we received federal matching and incentive monies of $6,556,000. So the federal government pays about 80% of every dollar we spend, and we recover substantial monies to help offset other programs of the state. We also have the Permanent Fund Dividend Division. And it's preparing to implement recently adopted regulations that will shorten the time needed to make eligibility determinations and resolve appeals. During the past year, the division realigned the internal eligibility determination cycle. This year, the division plans to complete all current year eligibility determinations several months before the statutory deadline. We've already been way behind in this process. And so that will be the earliest in the program's history. In addition, the division is currently taking steps to eliminate delays experienced by many appellants. Maybe you've heard, maybe you've gotten cards and letters and telephone calls. We were way behind in making some of the initial determinations, way behind. We've got that resolved, and there's very few of them now. But now that we've got the eligibility determinations determined, some of those have resulted in appeals, so now the appeals is way up. But we're going to keep those eligibility determinations down, and we're also going to get those appeals down. So over the next year, the division expects to significantly reduce the informal conflicts appeal inventory and resultant delays by streamlining procedures. And during the past 2 years, staff has explored and implemented many new procedures to improve the efficiency and effectiveness of the programs administered by the Department of Revenue. Future improvements will come through expanded use of data processing. The department is moving toward implementation of local area networks connected by a wide area network. The department is exploring the application of electronic imaging technology to help reduce the expense caused by the high volume of paper involved in the CSED and PFP programs. The existing information systems plan is being updated to integrate application of technology. Well, that's a brief summary there. And, we've indicated that we could always use more money. We realize that the state has limited funds, and so therefore we're working within the funds that are available and doing the best job we can. And I think we're doing a very good job. We've improved in many areas. We've improved in our status of auditing and what have you. But there's always other room for improvement and additional gains and additional revenue. We did a book, which you should all have, an overview, FY94 agency request. I'd like to use this to proceed. First, there's a table of contents on page 1 and page 3 just talks about an agency overview. Now, agency overview would include the entire agency, and as stated on page 5, the agency includes what I call revenue operations. And with revenue operations would be income and excise audit, oil and gas audit, treasury, permanent fund dividend, child support, the commissioner's office, and administrative services. That's a little bit different than our DRU category of revenue operations, but I consider that to be our operation. And in addition, we provide support and financial advice to the following boards and authorities, and they're listed there on page 5. Some of them are large ones: Permanent Fund Corporation, Alaska Housing, Alaska Science and Tech, Alcoholic Beverage Control, ADA, the Bond Bank, State Bond Committee, and the last one down there is the new one, the Alaska State Pension Investment Board. So then on the next page, page 7, it's an agency budget summary. And once again, the summary includes all those boards and commissions and authorities. If you look on page, what's right behind page 7, which is really page 8, there's an organization chart, and it gives the total number of employees by location. Might add that in revenue operations, there's 315 permanent full-time, and in the boards, commissions, and authorities, there's 208, which totals up to 523 permanent full-time employees. Page 9 gives an agency budget summary. Once again, this includes all the boards, commissions, and authorities, which are those that I previously referenced. The next page, page 10, is a staffing and location chart, which I'd like to go over. We've broken it down into two. The top part here is really our revenue operations. Child support remains the same. Income and excise audit shows a decrease. Oil and gas audit, a decrease. Treasury is the same. Commissioner's office, a decrease. Administrative services, a decrease. Permanent fund dividend, a decrease. And then below that are the
Chairman, Senator Cotula.
It's a contending bother once in a while over the years. The reason I interject myself here, but I see child support got 128. Am I reading that right?
Yes.
But down oil and gas, you only have 40. From the income losses or potential losses due to waiting too long to try to collect and so on, you've made testimony elsewhere. That indicate to me that you need more people in oil and gas audit. You need more help. Now, maybe in the different department of oil and gas audit, but you need more auditors to really help out and solve the problem. We've been cutting you too tight and short, and I think maybe you have a tendency to not pound on the tables, right? And that's probably a factor too of us. You don't. You still, you may understate your need, and I really hope that this committee will get. And we have been in private conferences, of course, so that we maybe all understand it. That's an area, my understanding from you over the last 2 years, has been awfully tight. Now, if we don't want to add more bodies, maybe we should take them from an area that doesn't bring in near the money. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
As much as I'm interested in one of these areas, if we're not going to add, maybe we have to take them from the areas that don't bring in near the money that we have hanging out here in the billions. If you don't get your job, then you need those auditors. You need those accountants. That's all I'm going to say about it. That's been my understanding from you for quite some time, that we're short there, or we may well be short there in having adequate staff.
If I may respond, Chairman, the Department of Revenue, we believe these programs to be very important. Child support enforcement, we presently have 37,000 cases. Child support means a great deal to many people around this entire state of Alaska and the people around the nation. Also, other states collect child support for people who are living here also. And we believe that program needs every nickel that it has. I mean, that's a real human needs type program.
All right. How much are on
that? I'll continue that. As I mentioned earlier, we collected substantial amounts of money off of assessments that have been made since July 1 of 1990 when we started tracking all this because of the Constitutional Budget Reserve Fund, substantial amounts. We've also heard the charge at the State of the Budget Address from the Governor to the Attorney General, who is the one that is responsible for all settlements made in the state, to work very diligently and very hard with respect to assessments that are on the books. We have a substantial amount of assessments that the department has issued, and with interest, it's amounts to multiple billions. So there's a lot of money on the table already. We know that we have a lot that we can still assess because we're in the auditing process. We've already believed that we could put additional money to good use. By good use, I mean that we would achieve revenue. Now, if we spend a dollar today, we're not going to get the dollar tomorrow because it takes some time. We have to go through the audit process, and sometimes it goes through the hearing process. It could take a few years to realize the return. But we've always thought that each dollar that we spend, at least for now, and at some point there certainly is an effective initial return, but we believe it will return substantial money to the state of Alaska. On the other hand, we also realize that the state has so much money to spend, and we're doing the best job we can to work with them. The amount that gets allocated. And we have improved, we are becoming more current. We have a lot of assessments that we've issued, and we're doing a much better job. But yes, we could use more money. And as a matter of fact, in the front section of the budget, there was $414,000 added in for the Oil and Gas Audit Division to help them with some of the additional money. That's Oil and Gas Income and Excise plays an important part of it too. Because about $1 billion of our assessments outstanding represents the income and excise matters. But I'll continue with that.
Thank you. Let's try to hold questions if we can, because we do want to let the commissioner get all the way through his presentation, and then we'll come back to questions.
Okay, it's in the time. You can read some of this on page 13, our revenue operations issues, child support enforcement. Number one, we want to comply with very established mandates, the Family Support Act. And if we don't, they come in and audit. They're starting their audit, I believe it's this week. And there's about 18 areas they look at. If we have a failure rate that's unacceptable, we begin to lose our federal incentives, or we could even lose our federal match money. So it's important that we continue to maintain those federal requirements. And it's more important than that. It's a matter of trying to support families in need, children in need. The Income and Excise Audit Division, there's been some stories before about how we've gone out and audited and came with certain groups and everything like that. We're not auditing everybody. We receive well over 12,000 returns, and we don't audit very many returns. We think we have an opportunity to gain additional revenues by performing more audits and trying to find some more perpetrators who are not filing. But anyway, you can read some of the issues there. The back page, oil and gas audit, treasury management, and then permanent fund dividends. All of our goals in the tax areas are to receive full consideration, shall we say, for the state of Alaska, based on the tax laws that we have. On page 17 is the revenue operations budget summary. Between revenue operations and those items that we handle, the audit functions, treasury, child support, permanent fund dividends, and the urine section and the services. You can see personal services. FY93 is about the same as FY92. We did absorb COLA. We did have some reductions overall because of that. If you look at the funding, I think that's important. If you go down to the funding source, look at the general fund. The general fund from FY92 to FY93, we went down $584,000. And from FY93 into FY94, we're down another $877,000. The general fund is basically the commissioner's office, administrative services, oil and gas audit, income and excise audit, and a small part of treasury. So you can see where the reductions have been taken. Child support is the federal funds, our redemption of the general fund match, and then we have some other items down there. Next page, we get into child support itself. I could spend a lot of time talking about these. You might be interested to know that in child support in 92, fiscal 92, we collected over $44 million in child support. That's a 16% increase over 91. The cases that we have outstanding at the end of October of 92, I just happened to pick this because that was the last report I had, was 35,038 cases. At the end of 91, it was 33,043 cases. The caseload and almost everything else has been increasing at around 8% a year, and our funding has remained about the same. We did have an increase in funding one of the years that was implemented in House Bill 43. The kids line, a lot of people don't like the kids line, but it's very important to help keep the cost down. In October of 92, we had 33,982 calls. In 91, we had 31,584 calls, and that's an increase of 17%. And that's just the way the program has been going. That's why we think that imaging technology and other electronic enhancements are so important to that program. It's either that or more people. Next page is into the next slide audit. That program, you can see, it's going down from what it was in 93. 93 went up a little bit. Two things that went into there. We did have a fiscal note because we're implementing the water's edge method of portion.
How much can you score? Excuse me. I'll wait for you.
Okay. And so we also had that. We tried to privatize unpaid property, but when we went through the bid process and all that, it just came out to be grossly expensive to try to privatize it, so we did not do that.
I'm sorry. I missed that.
Yeah, what I did, I missed it too.
Oh, unpaid property, that's where, where the banks are. Financial institutions, even corporate entities where they may have issued a check and they owe people money and the money's not claimed, that money has to be paid over to the state of Alaska. It comes into the income and excise audit division. And then it gets advertised in newspapers and what have you, and after a while it just comes into the state's coffers. And we try to privatize that program. But I think probably because of the uncertainty with respect to what it might cost to take to manage that program, the bids we received back were very high, so we retained it. The amount of taxes, penalties, and interest that remain uncollected, assessed and uncollected at December 31, 92 is up $750,000 from what it was at December 31 of 91. So we're continuing to make a lot of progress here. I think a lot more progress can be made. We have 12 auditor positions. Only 8 of those are filled, and most of those remain unfilled because of the vacancy factor. We have, if you look at the organization chart over there, you see some of these tax examiner functions. There's not too many of them there. And in fiscal year 92, some tax examiners, as a result of their effort, now they're people that just sit behind the desk and look at returns and make sure that they add up. Maybe everything makes sense. It's kind of like with the IRS when they send you a notice saying, hey, we want some information on charitable contributions or reductions or something like that. But as a result of the work that they did, we issued $18 million in assessments in fiscal year 92. And it's not that big of a group. So some people are returning good money for our investment in them. Next is oil and gas audit. Between 92 and 93, you'll see personal services went down. One reason it went down, we put it in quotes, privatized some of the property tax functions. In other words, we got more cooperation in terms of the services of the organizations that represented more than the property tax, which is specifically the North Slope Borough. And so we reduced personal services by $300,000 for 93. Due to that, we increased contractual services by $100,000 to give us a net savings of $200,000 by, shall we say, privatizing the property tax function here. But only to a certain extent, we still maintain control. I mentioned that in the front section of the budget, we received $414,500. It's in the front section of the budget, so that could be added to the agency request. like I mentioned earlier, maybe $10 million for auditor collections on assessments that have averaged about 10% over the last several years, and the production tax alone is over $1 billion a year. So when we're averaging over 10% a year, it means $100 million of that is coming from our the assessments that we've issued, and the outstanding assessments are substantial. I think the Department of Law is working on. And with respect to income and excise and oil and gas, as the Department of Law gets more vigorously involved in this, we had the royalty settlement here a couple years ago, and now the focus is on severance tax and the income tax side of it. And they're using a few different outside law firms, plus their internal legal staff. And as they become more focused, it means they need more help from the Department of Revenue to support their litigation efforts, whether it comes to formal hearings. So we have to devote resources to support them. And if it comes to formal hearings, if formal hearings last a long time, then we have to have somebody assigned to do the formal hearing. And so it's taking resources away from everything else. And we're bumping up against the statute of limitations in many areas. Some of the oil companies have given out signals that they may not be so interested in waiving the statute in the future. And we're working right now with the Department of Law to try to determine what our needs really are in order to help support them in their efforts to bring these outstanding assessed taxes to resolution. And when we do that, then we need to reassess what we need to continue the program to make sure that we do not miss any statute limitations and that we collect the taxes that are due to, or at least we assess the taxes that we believe are due to the state of Alaska. So these issues are major, and they're not going away. In fact, some of the issues change. You know, in the old days, and we're still working with that ceiling crisis, windfall profits taxes, and all that. And now we're moving into the NGL and natural gas liquid issues, and just new issues coming up. Next, treasury management. That's on page 25. I might point out that, you know, and you don't see it here, but treasury management, their general fund component has gone down a little bit. Back in 1985, their general fund money was a little over $2 billion. Excuse me, $2 billion. Start talking about taxes against $3 billion. But anyway, their general fund money was over $2 million. Today, it's at $1 million. And they have 18 accounts today, 18 separate funds. They didn't have near that in 1985. And if you look at it on real terms, we're about 65% or so less than where we were in 1985, and the level of work has gone up. Well, how would we be able to do that? Well, for one thing, we're highly automated. And as I mentioned earlier, we pay close attention to our fiduciary responsibilities. We want to make sure that we maximize our internal controls and losses to the state. We want to make sure that we can gain the most revenue to the state through investment earnings. And even with the amount that we have in here to support the general fund operations, it only comes out on a basis point comparison to 7.5 basis points. I mean, that's less than you can get money managed for any place else in this country. And we're even doing the cash management function for the state. So, you know, we believe that that division is at a bare bones minimum. We struggle very hard to keep the funding level that it has and so that we don't dip below that. And it's helped a lot, too, in improving. I mean, Vern Voss, the guy who heads up the cash management section, he's made some recommendations over the past year that's brought in savings of hundreds of thousands of dollars to the state of Alaska through this injection and working with other agencies. The next is the commissioner's office. The commissioner's office, if you take out the hearing section, it's not big. It includes myself, it includes the assistant commissioner and a secretary, and that is the commissioner's office. The deputy commissioner, his functions are solely related to that $7.5 billion, and he's actually up also, but basically his functions are related to that $7.5 billion that we have under management. And so there's three people that are in the commissioner's office budget outside of the hearing officers. Now, we do have some hearing officers, and if you look at the organization chart, we have a senior hearing officer and three other hearing officers. That's down two hearing officers from what we had a couple years ago.
geared up to do any formal hearings with respect to any big oil cases. We can handle the people that we have to do that, and nobody's going to go do the hearings on child support, permanent and dividends, and the other tax matters that we have. So we're looking at how we might be able to handle that responsibility also if some of these tax cases come to formal hearings.
Who is the assistant commissioner?
Robin Rand. Now he's here. Brian Andrews is the deputy commissioner. He's also here.
Now I'm missing where the deputy commissioner sits in the organizational chair.
Yes. Mr. Chairman, we would have to go back and, if you would, page, well, right before page 9 and page 8. The deputy commissioner. His function is to manage the entire treasury function, which includes debt management, portfolio management, controllership functions within there, and the entire process related to that $7.5 billion, which is an 18 separate fund. It's a very important function, and that's why we have it as a separate status there.
Suppose if Mr. Chairman wouldn't be appropriate to ask the commissioner then what did he do?
Pardon? What do I do? Well, for one thing, I'm the sole fiduciary for all this money, and I keep very close track of it myself. I mean, I don't want to, with beneficiaries out there in the pension funds and other people and what have you, being the sole fiduciary over $7.5 billion is an awesome responsibility.
I see you're wearing a striped shirt, just to continue to remind you of the responsibility.
And the other one is that, to try to coordinate on this entire tax issue. We had a two-day seminar in Anchorage here back in December, where we had about 25 individuals, outside legal people, people that used to work for the department, used to work for the Department of Law, et cetera, and we spent two full days trying to determine if there was a better way of coming to closure with respect to the severance tax situation. I mean, the statute says the department shall collect full consideration or value is significantly higher. Well, I'm not quite sure I know what the word significant means, but I mean, we struggle with that. But I mean, there's some ways that maybe we can make the process work better and bring it to a closure prior to, it's having to audit here in 1993. Tax year 1987. There must be a better way, and we spent 2 days looking at that, and that's a very high priority of mine, is to make sure we follow through. I mean, as others have said, we've studied this to death in the past, and after we seem to study it and have big meetings on it, nothing ever happens, and we just shelve it. Well, we're not going to shelve it, we're going to figure out how to do it better. The oil and gas tax case review. Some of that money, that contractual money, comes back to the commissioner's office, about $89,000 of internal receipt in order to support hearing officers. It's for expert witnesses, copying charges, contractual type work, and others in support of oil and gas tax cases. Next is administrative services. Tracy doesn't whine, but she's been on her knees begging for money here. And as you can see, it's 91, we had 22 positions. 94, we have 18 positions. One person, we're down due to the personnel consolidation, and we're down a couple of data processing people. We're trying to spread some of this responsibility out more to our divisions. But we're down to the point now where we're barely able to make sure that we're conforming to the statutes. We want to make sure we don't have any more procurement problems in the Department of Revenue. We've had a few of those in the past. Been a subject of a couple of legislative audits, and we all know what happened to a couple of individuals over in the procurement province. So we want to make sure that we are fulfilling our responsibilities for all the administrative requirements of the department, including making sure people are and that our employees get paid what they do. Permanent fund dividend division. The permanent fund dividend division,
affected by everybody that lives in the state. Whether you're eligible or not, you probably received at least one application in your mailbox, and you might even receive two if you have a post office box and a residence address. Some people might think that's kind of wasteful, but on the other hand, you know, it's not like the IRS or anything like that. It's a program for all Alaskans who qualify. And if we just try to send booklets out to those who qualified last year, well, many of them would have left the state, a lot of new people would have come into the state, and they would have to call and respond. They would have to do special mailing. And we think it's just a lot cheaper to mail one out to every address in the state of Alaska. Applications received in 92, we had almost 542,000 applications that we received. Estimated eligibles from that would be 517,000. The year before, in 91, we had 535,000 applications that we received. So we're up about 6,000 this year over what we were last year. I'm talking about 92 versus 91. And in 91, we had estimated eligibles of 510,000. Why estimated eligibles? Well, some people don't give us all the information that's requested on the form, and we've been working with them to get complete information. I think you received a recent letter from me giving you a list. Maybe we could sort the list differently or whatever, but you can see there's a lot of names out there, people who are still trying to locate to get final information. And if we don't, we're going to send them a denial letter. We've been working with them a long time, contact them for a long time. We'll send them a denial notice, and then from that point, they can still believe they're eligible. They can always appeal to the denial, but it probably will be some action. That is, if we don't worry. Those are some of the statistics on the permanent fund dividend. And then, once we go beyond that, we get into the board commissions and the formal funding programs. And I'm not going to go over those because you will hear directly from those boards, authorities, and commissions.
Okay, thank you very much, Commissioner. We have Senator Kelly and Senator Petula have questions.
I was amazed at 37,000 cases for child support division. Is that 37,000 kids or 37,000 individual cases of lack of parental support?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Kelly, that's a good question. 37, those are the number of cases. And I believe, well, I'm not sure the answer to that.
My name is Robert Grant, Assistant Commissioner. That's 37,000 cases, Senator Kelly, and some cases involve more than one juvenile. So I don't have the number of juveniles involved in the cases.
It might be an interesting number to get, though. You know, it shouldn't be that difficult. If we could get that number. And also, Commissioner, what's the kids line you were talking about?
The kids line, that's one of those automated lines, the center that you get, you know, when you phone the number and you get the recording that we all hate, that makes you go through some oops, shall we say, to get to the right person, if you can even get to a person to answer. But, you know, we have 130 people taking care of 137,000 cases.
Oh, so is it one of those things where it's a computer deal, and then you push one, and if you want this, you push six? And
that's correct, and it frustrates a lot of people. Some individuals, Senator Adams, he's complained about that line a lot because of the people that probably live there that may not, you know, understand.
Well, what does KID stand for? Is that the program on the line, or what? Or is it?
Oh, it's just, you know, we deal with child support. Child support's for the children.
When we go on a child support and we collect money on behalf of a parent, does the state charge any kind of an assessment to make up for the amount of money that it costs us to collect?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Kelly, the state at this time does not. That's an area that we've been looking at, and it seems like we've just been having a terrible time getting information on that. I mean, I personally have talked to the person that has the Fusion 10, and they can't even tell me. And we've been looking to see, I know there's a couple states that may have some type of a charge system. If we charge the potential state and the feds will want their 7% of the money that we collect. And then if we do try to charge, who can take the money from, the obligor, the custodial, and how do we go about collecting them? Is it a flat dollar? Is it $10 per transaction?
Committee to order. And we'll get going and let the others show up when they do. We're not going to take any official action today, so I don't think we really need a quorum. We have the Department of Education, and the University of Alaska and the Health and Department of Health and Social Services. So we'll start with education, Mr. Covey, and let's see, I don't know what your title is, Mr. Barnes, but I guess you're
executive director,
okay, of the post-secondary education. I guess we'll start with the commissioner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, committee. This morning I'd like to share with you a brief overview of the Department of Education and their operating budget. A quick overview. To begin, I would like to introduce some of my staff who are here behind me today. Mike Maher, who's our deputy commissioner. Dwayne Guiley, who's director of our school finance division. Gary Bader, director of administrative services. Karen Crane, the director of the libraries, archives, and museums. And Stan Ridgway, who's director, deputy director for vocational rehabilitation. And also Sheila Peterson, who's my special assistant. I have provided the committee with an organizational chart, and I'd like to just very briefly review the divisions within the Department of Education. We do have centralized correspondence school as one division. We've got Mount Edgecombe High School, Alaska Vocational and Technical School. We have a division of educational program support, a division of administrative services, a division of school finance, libraries, archives, and museums, and the Alaska Council on the Arts also is included in our department organizational chart. Overall, we have some 380 employees spread around the state. I guess at this point, I'd like to just share very briefly with you some highlights from the Department of Education and speak basically about some things that we've been working on in the last year that are turning out successfully for us. To begin with, I would talk about Alaska 2000, which has been a year-long public process in which we've done the most thorough review of the K-12 education system that has occurred in many years. We work with people from around the state to analyze our public education system and make some suggestions for change. We've condensed those and developed some recommendations. Some will be introduced to the legislature in the form of bills on Friday this week, and other recommendations will be advanced in the form of regulation changes. We've tried very hard to develop this package to maintain a broad base of support for it and to not advance recommendations which are divisive and which will stall progress. We believe it's important at this point to make some movement in the process of initiating significant changes in the education system. And so we've tried to develop a package very carefully that we believe the legislation will be able to support. What our intent is to position our education system for the future in a very comprehensive and complete way. And ultimately to bring the talents of our workforce into alignment with the desire and interest of our public to really add some significant energy for change, for success, for everyone included. And so ultimately, what we hope this package represents is something that will bring people together. And we're confident and cautiously optimistic that we have something that is quite supportable. Parts of that have included one of the major components of the Alaska 2000 is setting the standards for student performance, and not just standards, but a way of assessing the performance of our students around the state. I think perhaps it's the most